Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Friday, July 19th, 2019. Coming up this hour,
global stocks gain as traders bet on aggressive policy from the Fed.
Trade talks between the U.S. and Chinese officials offer little sign of progress.
Steady demand for cloud computing boosts earnings from Microsoft.
And Boeing plans a nearly $5 billion charge over its 737 MAX.
Iran denies the U.S. destroyed one of its drones in the Strait of Hormuz. Plus, protect yourself from the heat this weekend. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm Rob Buschka. Ahead in sports, Yankees sweep a twin bill, Mets lose a marathon, and it's cut day at the Open Championship.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. U.S. futures following stocks in Europe and Asia higher this morning. We're coming up to 6:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up 4 points, Dow futures up 69, Nasdaq futures up 23. The DAX in Germany is up 0.3%, while the CAC in Paris and the FTSE 100 are both up 0.2%. Nikkei 225 in Japan jumped 2%, Hang Seng in Hong Kong up 1.1%. 10-year Treasury down 5/32nds, yield 2.04%, yield on the 2-year 1.78%. NYMEX crude oil up 1.4% or 78 cents at $56.08 a barrel. COMEX gold up 0.9% or $13.30 to $14.41.40 an ounce. The euro 1.1240 against the dollar and the yen 107.66. Nathan.
Karen, global stocks are getting a boost from the Fed following remarks from Vice Chairman Richard Clarida and New York President John Williams. Both stressed the need to act quickly if the U.S. economy looks likely to stumble. Remarks from Williams specifically boosted bets for a 50 basis point rate cut this month. And that prompted a spokesman for the New York Fed to take the unusual step of clarifying his comments, saying they were part of an academic speech, not about potential policy. We get more from Bloomberg macro strategist Mark Cranfield.
The S&P 500 future briefly reversed once we had the clarification from the New York Fed. Then it just went all the way back to where it had been late in New York trading. So for now, at least, equities really are in no mood to see anything other than the very best that can be offered from the Fed.
Still, remarks from Clarida and Williams line up with last week's testimony from Chairman Jerome Powell. Jeffrey Kleintop is Chief Global Investment Strategist at Charles Schwab.
You know, the movie theaters are full of films about superheroes right now. I think the market sees the Fed as not guardians of the galaxy, but guardians of the economy and able to use their superpowers to try and avert this global economic slowdown. But I don't think a few rate cuts is going to make the difference, whether it's 25 or 50 basis points at the end of this month. This is probably a mild economic downturn that's global in scope.
Yesterday's comments were the last before the Fed enters a blackout period before its policy meeting.
The prospect of aggressive measures from the Fed helped boost stocks in Asia today. Bloomberg's Juliet Sally joins us from Singapore with the latest. Good morning, Juliet.
Good morning, Karen and Nathan. Japan's Nikkei index led gains in the region, recouping Thursday's losses with a rise of 2%. Japanese chip makers were among the best performers, while TSMC and Taiwan climbed to its highest level in 2 months after the chip maker delivered a rosy revenue outlook. Hong Kong and Chinese stocks also posted solid gains Friday, along with markets in Australia and South Korea, although India's equity market underperformed. In Singapore, I'm Juliet Sali, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Juliet, thanks. On the trade front, senior U.S. and Chinese officials spoke by phone last night. It's their second call since last month's trade truce, but there's still little sign of progress. Bloomberg's Brian Fowler reports from Tokyo.
USTR Robert Lighthizer and Treasury Secretary Steve Mnuchin spoke with their counterparts. And previously, Mnuchin had said that if such a call were to take place, it could very easily lead to some kind of commitment for in-person meetings. At the conclusion of this call, we didn't get any details about how it went and certainly no follow-up in terms of meetings that have been planned. So it's unclear how the call went, but we didn't get the kind of optimistic sounds you might hope to get after such a call.
There are still deep differences between Beijing and Washington, with Commerce Secretary Wilbur Ross cautioning that negotiations could be a long, involved process.
Huawei is still a major sticking point, with China insisting that the U.S. ease restrictions on the company. But lawmakers like Republican Senator Rick Scott of Florida remain opposed to such a move. Scott spoke with Bloomberg from Capitol Hill.
I mean, it's not a trade issue. Huawei is a national security issue, and so you shouldn't be putting them together at all.
Ultimately, Senator Scott believes there will not be a deal between the U.S. and China.
Because I don't believe China is a fair competitor. They don't comply with the WTO. They steal our technology. They don't open up their markets. And by the way, they negotiate a deal and then try to change the terms. You don't do that and get deals done. So I don't believe there will be a deal, but Huawei is non-negotiable.
This week, a bipartisan group of lawmakers introduced a measure that would not allow the White House to bypass Congress to remove Huawei from the technology blacklist.
On the earnings front, Microsoft beat estimates for sales and profit thanks to steady demand for its cloud computing services. Anurag Rana covers Microsoft for Bloomberg Intelligence.
You know, overall, cloud business is very strong for Microsoft. You know, we think they are well-positioned than almost any other company out there because they have a good footprint on legacy enterprises as well as public cloud.
Microsoft's Windows business also outperformed. Right now, shares are up 2.5% in early trading.
When Boeing reports earnings next week, the company plans to record a $4.9 billion charge related to its 737 MAX jet. We get the story from Bloomberg's Charlie Pellett.
The after-tax charge covers potential concessions and considerations for airline customers who've been forced to cancel thousands of flights and line up replacement aircraft since the MAX was grounded in March. Boeing says the cost will clip $5.6 billion from revenue and pre-tax earnings in the quarter after two deadly crashes in a five-month span engulfed the U.S. plane maker in one of the biggest crises in its century-long history. Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Charlie, thanks. Shares of Bayer are up 1% as a $2 billion verdict in its Roundup trial is set to be slashed. A judge says he's inclined to cut the penalty to about $250 million or even as low as $150 million.
And on the M&A front, AB InBev has agreed to sell its Australian operations to Asahi for about $11 billion. The Belgian company says it's also still considering reviving an IPO of its Asian unit. Right now, S&P futures are up 4.5 points, and Dow futures are up 68, NASDAQ futures up 23. Straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. This is Bloomberg.
Thanks, Karen. It's 6:07 on Wall Street, and Michael Barr has more on what's going on around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. President Donald Trump says the U.S. immediately destroyed an Iranian drone that approached the USS Boxer near the Strait of Hormuz. President Trump says the drone was a threat to the ship and its crew in the latest sign of escalating tensions with Iran.
The United States reserves the right to defend our personnel, our facilities, and interests, and calls upon all nations to condemn Iran's attempts to disrupt freedom of navigation and global commerce.
Meanwhile, Tehran denies losing a drone. The New York City triathlon scheduled for this Sunday has been canceled due to the extreme heat levels expected for race day. The announcement was made last night after the National Weather Service issued an excessive heat warning for the tri-state area. Bloomberg meteorologist Rob Carolyn has the latest.
Michael, it's going to be a hot one for the tri-state area. Folks are definitely going to want to take advantage of any cooling centers or parks, anywhere they can get to the beach this weekend, though I imagine the beach is going to be very, very crowded with the heat. Excessive heat warnings are in effect for the tri-state area. Temperatures this weekend up around 100 degrees, but the heat index is going to be in excess of 105. That's why you're going to want to limit your time outside to before 10 a.m. or after 5 p.m. And again, good news is we break the heat wave on Sunday night with a cold front pushing down from the north. So it's going to be hot this weekend, but just through the weekend. Michael?
Rob, thank you, sir. More than 100 supporters greeted Minnesota Congresswoman Ilhan Omar when she arrived at the Minneapolis-St. Paul International Airport yesterday. Homemade signs read things like "Stand with Ilhan." President Trump says he now disagrees with chants from his North Carolina rally toward Omar when the crowd cried, "Send her back." Omar told her supporters at the airport it feels good to be home.
We are going to continue to be a nightmare to this president because his policies are a nightmare to us.
Omar later held a town hall in Minneapolis. President Trump announced that he will nominate Eugene Scalia, the son of late Justice Antonin Scalia, as Secretary of Labor to replace Alex Acosta. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Thank you, Michael. 6:09 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update with Rob Buschka.
Good morning, Nathan. The best way to put distance between yourself and the second-place Rays is to beat them twice.
Hit on the ground. Base hit. Right center field. Judge scores, and Encarnacion coming home. The throw is not in time. It goes all the way to the backstop, and on to second goes Didi. A two-run base hit for Didi Gregorius.
Yankees radios. The Yankees take a doubleheader in the Bronx, 6-2 and 5-1. Domingo Germán in the opener improved to 12-2. Manager Aaron Boone went on a rant at the umpiring crew and then dubbed his team savages, admiring their grit in the nightcap as they rallied for four runs in the sixth inning, and Luke Voit homered while Luis Sessa earned the win. Lead is back to 8. Interleague play continues tonight at the stadium. The Rockies are in town. Kyle Freeland faces Jay Happ. Mets saw the 2014 World Series version of Madison Bumgarner in San Francisco as the Giants ace through 9 superb innings. Nothing to show for it, though. The game was decided in 16.
Here's the 1-0 to Solano. He lines one past the reach of Alonso in the right field. And that's exactly what they do. The Giants come from behind.
Giants radio 3-2 to open the weekend series. Giants have won 6 straight, hottest team in baseball. Tonight it's Jacob deGrom and Tyler Beattie at 10:15. Golf's final major of the year, the 148th Open Championship from rural Port Rush in Ireland. Jordan Spieth's on fire, 5-under for the day atop the board at -6. Brooks Koepka's 3 back. Ricky Fowler's 5 off the pace. Phil Mickelson, Rory McIlroy, and Tiger Woods all projected to miss the cut. That's your NBC Bloomberg Sports Update. Nathan.
All right, Rob, thank you. And tune in tonight for the Bloomberg Business of Sports show. We'll talk youth sports with former NHL player Jeff Hamilton, who just coached the Connecticut Junior Rangers to the championship of the prestigious Brick Tournament in Edmonton. You can catch that conversation tonight at 8 and tomorrow at 11 a.m. on Bloomberg Radio. Subscribe to the show wherever you get your podcasts. S&P futures up 2 points, Dow futures up 50, and NASDAQ futures up 17 points. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. It's coming up to 6:12 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by National Realty, NRIA, developers of high-return income-producing properties for investor partners. See them at NRIA.net.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We do have some earnings crossing the Bloomberg. BlackRock reporting second quarter profit and revenue that missed analyst estimates. Bloomberg Daybreak, meanwhile, is out on customer terminals, bringing you all the news you need to start your day. Let's get a check of the latest headlines with Hannah George at the Bloomberg Daybreak desk. Good morning, Hannah.
Good morning, Karen. The New York Fed rushed out a statement after President John Williams frothed up markets with what looked like a call for sooner, deeper rate cuts. But a spokesman for the New York Fed is calling it an academic speech not related to current policy. Microsoft top sales and profit estimates fueled by demand for cloud services and a strong Windows business. The company forecasts double-digit revenue and operating income growth this year. Bayer got some good news on Roundup. The $2 billion in damages from its most recent trial may be slashed by 90% or more. And Boeing will take a $4.9 billion hit over the 737 MAX when it reports earnings next week. The after-tax write-down covers potential compensation for airline customers. For the news you need to start your day, check out Daybreak on your mobile phone on the Bloomberg Anywhere app. Karen.
Hannah, thank you. S&P futures up 2 points. Dow futures up 47. NASDAQ futures up 16. The DAX in Germany's up 0.1%. 10-year Treasury down 5/32nds. Yield 2.04%. Yield on the 2-year 1.78%. NYMEX crude oil up 1.1% or 59 cents at $55.89 a barrel. COMEX gold up 0.9% or $12.50 at $14.40.60 an ounce. The euro 1.1238 against the dollar. The yen 107.65. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, an Iranian news agency is reporting that the country's armed forces say all Iranian drones in the Persian Gulf returned safely to their bases and that there was no confrontation with the U.S. warship. The report comes after President Donald Trump said the USS Boxer took defensive action after an Iranian drone came within 1,000 yards in the Strait of Hormuz. A new poll shows former Vice President Joe Biden has a solid lead in the Democratic primary race. According to an NBC SurveyMonkey online poll, Biden has 25%, followed by Senators Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren tied at 16% and Senator Kamala Harris at 14%. In baseball, the Yankees won a doubleheader against the Rays. The Mets lost after 16 innings against the Giants, 3-2. The Red Sox won along with the Nationals. The A's lost. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Thanks, Michael. It's 6:20 on Wall Street. Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Broker Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak, and we are watching shares of Microsoft in the pre-market up 3.5%. After the software maker reported quarterly sales and profit that topped projections. Let's get more on this, what it could mean for the tech sector going forward. Dan Ives is with us, Director of Equity Research at Wedbush Securities. So, Dan, could Wall Street have asked for a much better report than this from Microsoft?
This was a Goldilocks quarter in guidance, and I think it just speaks to the company as massive cloud fuel in the engine. And they continue to narrow the gap versus Amazon AWS. This is really for bulls, you know, what I would call a dream scenario.
And now the company is promising double-digit gains in sales and operating income in the next fiscal year. Can it meet those projections?
Yeah, we think this is just in the early innings of playing out. You only have 30% of workloads in the cloud going to 55% in the next 4 years. And really, it's Nadella and Microsoft that are continuing to lead that charge. And I think this is a stock that's going to continue to get re-rated in new highs. And I think this is something that the bulls were hoping for. Now a lot of the skeptics are going to have to move to the sidelines.
You mentioned Microsoft chipping away at Amazon Web Services cloud dominance. I mean, how much market share can Microsoft take away from Amazon? I mean, is that where it's going?
That is where it's going, because right now it's a two-horse race for cloud. The first step, Amazon and Bezos definitely had the lead and were ahead. But you're starting to see more enterprises. They moved to cloud. They're going with Azure and Microsoft. They've shifted the company, and you're seeing the growth. That's why you continue to see the stock move higher. And this quarter and guidance just shows this is just in the early innings of playing out.
Is the move from PC focus to cloud supportive of Microsoft's traditional business, thinking of, you know, Windows, thinking of the Office suite?
And that continues to really be what was the challenge for Nadella and Microsoft, given some of the maturity there, but it was the opportunity because they were able to basically take all that and transform into a cloud behemoth. They've turned the whole company around, moving to cloud. And in my opinion, 20 years covering tech, it's the best turnaround I've ever seen in terms of what Nadella has done. And this is just another chapter in that book.
So we've had this strong report from Microsoft, pretty solid earnings from IBM. What does this portend for the rest of the tech sector as the earnings parade goes on? Does a rising tech tide lift all boats, do you think?
Yeah, I do think a rising tide lifts all boats because right now we're seeing uptick in spend, and especially on the move to cloud. Software and semis are continuing to get a boost here. You know, there's obviously skeptics out there on the hardware side and infrastructure, but this is really the news that we needed to see the tech sector move a leg higher, and especially what we've seen the likes of IBM, Microsoft, and we continue to expect strong earnings, you know, over the coming weeks throughout the tech sector.
Is there still a headwind, though, when you think about tensions between the U.S. and China and, you know, a lot of the regulatory scrutiny that some of the big FANG stocks have gotten on Capitol Hill?
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, you look at FANG names with obviously a bright spotlight within the Beltway and as well as Brussels and China. Those are the two headwinds. But I think, you know, even though those are overhangs in the markets, core fundamentals that are driving the stocks higher, investors are still keeping an eye on those risks. But right now, that's more background noise and affecting core fundamentals. That's why a lot of bears are going to happen to go into hibernation mode right now.
And Dan Ives, Equity Research Director at Wedbush Securities, thanks again for being with us. Take a look at Microsoft. And again, in the pre-market, shares are 3.5% higher at $141. If that holds at the open, that would be a record for Microsoft stock. As far as the broader market goes, it is also moving higher. Though trimming some earlier gains, S&P futures up 3 points. Now Dow futures ahead 56, NASDAQ futures up 20 points. The 10-year down 5/32, the yield 2.04%, and two-year treasuries at 1.78%. Coming up to 6:25 on Wall Street, straight ahead, we'll take a look at the latest Fed speak and how that could be buoying market sentiment, plus all the latest in business, economics, and finance. I'm Nathan Hager, and this is Bloomberg. Brought to you by Bernstein Medical. Losing your hair? Learn how Bernstein Medical uses your own hair to create natural, permanent results. Explore BernsteinMedical.com or visit their Manhattan Center. Bernstein Medical, a world leader in robotic hair transplants.
News. Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130 to Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 991 to Boston. Bloomberg 1061 to San Francisco. Bloomberg 960 to the country. Sirius XM Channel 119 and around the globe. The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
It's 6:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We are just about 3 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. U.S. futures are rising as we close out the trading week. Japan's Nikkei rose 2%.
Investors are gaining optimism about more aggressive policy from the Federal Reserve. Bets on a 50 basis point rate cut this month rose after comments from New York Fed President John Williams, though a spokesman for the New York Fed has since walked back those comments, saying they were an academic speech, not about potential policy. Michael Sneed is head of macro quant and derivative strategy at BNP Paribas.
We think there'll be 25 basis point rate cuts. We think 50 basis points is quite unlikely, but we do think they'll follow with another rate cut later this year.
We do get that Fed decision in a little under 2 weeks, July 31st.
Also, in the market optimism, corporate earnings, Microsoft shares are trading at an all-time high following quarterly sales and profit that topped estimates. We get more from Bloomberg's Charlie Pellett.
The company's cloud computing business racked up clients for Azure Web Services and Office Productivity Software. The stock has jumped on optimism about the company's cloud business and on some investors' belief that Microsoft is a haven as U.S. and European regulators sharpen their scrutiny of other large technology firms. Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Charlie, thank you. And Microsoft shares are up more than 3.5% to $141.
Earnings continue today with eight companies in the S&P 500 reporting, including American Express. Bloomberg's Jeff Bellinger has a preview.
American Express has an ambitious revenue growth target of 8 to 10% for the year. Bloomberg Intelligence sees that as achievable but says it will likely come in at the low end. Analysts expect to hear that spending volume grew 7% in the second quarter. The consensus is that Amex will post revenue of nearly $10.9 billion. Jeff Bellinger, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Jeff, thank you. And shares of Boeing are up 2% this morning. The company plans to report a $4.9 billion accounting charge related to its beleaguered 737 MAX jetliner. Boeing says the plane will return to service in the fourth quarter, easing fears the timetable could slip into next year. Now let's get you up to date on how stocks are faring. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures are up about 3 points. Dow futures up 51. NASDAQ futures up about 19. The DAX in Germany is up 0.1%. 10-year treasury down 5/32, yield 2.04%. Yield on the 2-year, 1.78%. NYMEX crude oil up 1.25% or 69 cents at $55.99 a barrel. And COMEX gold is up 0.8% or $11.50. And straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news, and this is Bloomberg.
Thanks, Karen. 6:33 on Wall Street, and Michael Barr has more of what's going on around the world. Michael.
Thank you very much, Nathan. The U.S. says it has shot down an Iranian drone in the Strait of Hormuz. Bloomberg's Ed Baxter has the story.
The USS Boxer is a large naval WASP model assault ship, and the president says the drone came within 1,000 yards.
Ignoring multiple calls to stand down and was threatening the safety of the ship and the ship's crew. The drone was immediately destroyed.
He says that offensive action on the U.S. will protect its assets in the region. Meanwhile, the U.S. is demanding the release of a small Panamanian flag tanker that was seized by Iran in the strait. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Meanwhile, Iran's deputy foreign minister says Iran has not lost any drone in the Strait of Hormuz, nor anywhere else. This weekend, the tri-state area is under an excessive heat warning from noon today until 8 p.m. Sunday. New York Mayor Bill de Blasio has already declared a heat emergency. People are advised to take advantage of cooling centers. The target of the send her back chant at a Trump rally in North Carolina got a warm welcome in her home state of Minnesota. Democratic Representative Ilhan Omar told a town hall in Minneapolis she is not backing down.
I know there are a lot of people that are trying to distract us now, but I want you all to know that we are not going to let them.
President Trump is disavowing the cries of send her back from his followers when he questioned the loyalty of the Somali-born congresswoman. Trump says he tried to stop the chant, though video suggests otherwise. Senator Elizabeth Warren will square off against Senator Bernie Sanders and Mayor Pete Buttigieg, along with seven other Democratic presidential hopefuls on night one of two Democratic debates in Detroit. In Sioux City, Iowa last night, Warren described her strategy.
It's about talking about vision for what we're going to do. I think that's what everyone on the stage will be doing.
Meanwhile, an NBC Survey Monkey poll shows former Vice President Joe Biden leading the Democratic presidential field with 25%. Warren and Sanders are at 16%. Senator Kamala Harris has 14%. Global news 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Thanks, Michael. 6:35 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update with Rob Buschka.
Good morning, Nathan. The Yankees have the Rays' number as New York took both ends of a doubleheader on Thursday, 6-2 and 5-1, in a day that saw skipper Aaron Boone go on a rant. He got fired up at the umpiring crew. He then took time to reflect on the separation in the standings.
All our high leverage, you know, guys, Cess and Nestor picking us up big time in the middle innings there. Greeny wiggling off the hook there in the first inning. I mean, you know, just a really good all-around team effort, which, you know, obviously it takes against a club like that.
Yankees increased their lead to 8 over Tampa Bay. Domingo Germán won his 12th, and there were home runs for Aaron Hicks and Luke Voit. Homestand continues tonight. It's interleague play as Colorado pays a visit. Jay Happ hosts Kyle Freeland. You're a true diehard Mets fan if you stayed up only to endure the suffering of a 16-inning triumph for San Francisco out west, 3-2. Madison Bumgarner returned to old form, spinning 9 innings, while Donovan Solano had the walk-off hit. Pete Alonso homered in a losing cause, also in the 16th. Series continues tonight as Tyler Beede entertains Jacob deGrom at 10:15. Golf, it's cut day at the Open Championship at Northern Ireland's Royal Portrush. Great start for Americans J.B. Holmes, who's in the lead at -8. Jordan Spieth is 3 back. Dustin Johnson's 1 under, while Phil Mickelson and Tiger Woods projected to miss the cut. They're +5 and +6. And that's your NBC Bloomberg Sports Update. Nathan?
And Rob, the extreme heat's forced the cancellation of a couple of key sporting events this weekend. Sunday's New York City Triathlon is being canceled for the first time in its 18-year history. Organizers estimate 4,000 people had registered. The New York Roadrunners also canceled tomorrow's 10-mile marathon training series race, and the New York Racing Association has canceled Saturday's card at Saratoga. It is 6:37 on Wall Street.
The following is an editorial from Bloomberg Opinion.
Fed up with Silicon Valley firms, France wants to tax them, and pretty much only them, more heavily. French lawmakers last week approved a new tax on digital companies with global revenue of more than $845 million and local revenue of more than $28 million. This measure is plainly discriminatory. In addition to singling out a specific industry, it will apply to only a handful of companies, most of them American. It's a tariff by another name. America has every right to object. Unfortunately, the Trump administration has responded with protectionist threats of its own. Now there's glib talk in Washington of tariffs on French wine and cheese. Both countries need to take a step back. It's true that taxing tech companies has been challenging, but the answer will come from international cooperation, not another trade war. Otherwise, a bit of misguided protectionism could spiral into dangerous confrontation. This editorial was written by the Bloomberg Opinion Editorial Board. I'm David Shipley. For more Bloomberg Opinion, please visit Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPI and Go on the Bloomberg Terminal.
This has been Bloomberg Opinion.
And you can hear Bloomberg Opinion editorials every weekday at this time. It's coming up to 6:39 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Green Report. Here's Bob Boone.
If you can't stand the heat, weather experts say do something about global warming. The National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration just announced Earth sizzled to its hottest June on record. And the heat goes on. According to NOAA, June averaged 60.6 degrees Fahrenheit, about 1.7 degrees warmer than the 20th century average. It beat out 2016 for the hottest June, with records going back to 1880. And it was Europe by far that shattered June temperature records, while other records were set in Russia, Africa, Asia, and South America. France had its hottest month in history, which is unusual because July is traditionally hotter than June. Just wait, though. July is not over yet. Strangely, all of this contributes to climate extremes. In Colorado this week, there's still a snowpack. Not much, maybe 0.2 inches, but it's the latest the Colorado Rockies have seen a snowpack since 2011. That's the Bloomberg Green Business Report. I'm Bob Moon.
Thank you, Bob. Coming up at 10 a.m. Wall Street time, we get the University of Michigan's preliminary consumer sentiment index for July. Economists forecast the index rose to 98.8, retracing some of the prior month's loss. Bloomberg's Vinnie Deljudice reports.
In June, the university's consumer sentiment index fell to 98.2 after rising in May to a nine-month high. Bloomberg Economics says rebounding payroll growth and a rallying stock market should support optimism in today's data. Case in point, the latest weekly Bloomberg Consumer Comfort Index set a fresh 18-year high. Vinny Deljudice, Bloomberg Daybreak.
And Vinny, futures are moving higher on Wall Street ahead of the open. S&P futures up 3 points. Dow futures ahead by 54. NASDAQ futures up 20 points. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. And it's almost 6:41 on Wall Street. President Trump backs away from the send her back cry. Where do things stand now after a racially divisive week? We check in with Brown University political science professor Wendy Schiller next.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. It is 6:47 on Wall Street. Futures are little change to higher now. Let's go to the first word breaking news desk for today's morning call. Here's Bill Maloney. Bill, good morning.
And good morning, Karen. U.S. futures are trading higher, led by pre-market gains in Boeing and Microsoft. Dow futures currently up 43 points. S&P's gained 2, while NASDAQ futures climb by 15. The U.S. 10-year yield at 2.04%. Gold is down, and Japan rose 2% overnight. Well, European markets are trading mixed this morning. Back in the U.S. on the economic front at 10 o'clock, Michigan sentiment, estimate 98.8. After the bell last night, Microsoft revenue beat the highest estimates. Shares are up 3.5% in the pre-market. And Boeing said it will take a $4.9 billion charge because of the 737 MAX. Shares are up 2% in the pre-market. Regarding earnings this morning, BlackRock EPS missed estimates. And on the trade front, Mnuchin and Lighthizer spoke with top Chinese trade officials yesterday, but neither side gave any details. Wrapping things up, Philip Morris was upgraded to overweight at Barclays, and MSG Networks downgraded to underweight over at J.P. Morgan. Live from the First Breaking News Desk, I'm Bill Maloney. Karen?
All right, Bill, thank you. And to hear live breaking news over your Bloomberg, type squawk on your terminal, S-Q-U-A-W-K. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, President Trump says an Iranian drone flew too close to a U.S. military ship in the Strait of Hormuz, prompting action by the U.S. and the shoot down of the drone aircraft. President Trump said he intends to nominate Eugene Scalia, a prominent Washington lawyer and son of late Supreme Court Justice Antonin Scalia, to be his new labor secretary. If confirmed by the Senate, he would replace Alex Acosta, who announced his resignation last week amid an outcry over his handling of a sex crimes case against disgraced financier Jeffrey Epstein. In baseball, the Yankees won a doubleheader against the Rays. The Mets lost after 16 innings against the Giants 3-2. The Red Sox won along with the Nationals. the A's lost. Finally, from Daybreak on the Bloomberg, Manila has a fix for the world's worst traffic. Build artificial islands. The city, one of the most congested areas globally, plans to create islands covering 90 square kilometers, or almost 56 square miles, more than half the size of B.C., to house a new airport, condos, and casinos. Nathan, the government sees it as a way to cope with a rapidly growing population, putting pressure on infrastructure.
Yeah, but you still got to drive to them, right?
Well, yeah, okay. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok, on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
All right, Michael, thank you. We are live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, where it's coming up to 6:50 on Wall Street. Time to check what's going on in D.C. Some of the top stories in our nation's capital include President Trump saying the U.S. shot down an Iranian drone while Iran denies losing one. President planning to nominate Eugene Scalia, son of the late Supreme Court Justice Antonin Scalia, as his next labor secretary. And House Speaker Nancy Pelosi reviewing a White House list of spending cuts, potential spending cuts, as negotiations race toward the deadline to raise the debt ceiling. Also making news, President Trump trying to back away from a fiery chant that he helped to spark at a rally in North Carolina. For more, we're joined by Wendy Schiller, political science professor at Brown University. Wendy, last we spoke, you talked about the risk the president faced in attacking these four Democratic congresswomen of color rhetorically. Did he find the line that his supporters might not be willing to cross?
Well, no. I mean, I think that he, for the most part, even though some people are uncomfortable with this, had a winning week for himself in terms of mobilizing his base and, you know, sort of setting the agenda. That's the trap that he laid for the Democrats, and the Democrats fell into it. But the Democrats are basically going all in on their side to say that they're going to present themselves as the alternative to this kind of rhetoric, this kind of speech. We've had a couple of incidents around the country that have gone viral thanks to social media, where people who are, you know, United States citizens, they're walking to a convenience store, Burger King, and are told, you know, not to speak Spanish or to go home to their countries. So it's having an effect. The president's words have an effect. And when people are faced with that, when they see it in the mirror, over a couple of days, all of a sudden it gets very uncomfortable. So the Democrats are hoping that that kind of sense of uncomfortableness will, you know, stick. In other words, that they can use it against the president. But it's not clear to me that it dents him in any way with his own base.
Yeah, I mean, it might fire up his base, but does that outweigh how much the president's remarks and the reaction to it might turn off independent voters?
Well, that's the whole thing. There are two, again, the risks are really there, and they're hard to see. They're hard to know, particularly a year and a half out or, you know, from the election, which is, right, turning off independent voters. His ratings have gone down just slightly among independents. But the question is also, what about people who are naturalized citizens who are voting this time around in 2020? You know, maybe they didn't vote last time. They weren't citizens yet. You know, those are marginal. You say those numbers aren't that big. But in fact, in some of the cities that the president has to win in the Midwest, there are a big populations of people who've come over who are immigrants who can now vote. So when you think about that, at the margins, you're looking at 22,000 votes or 25,000 votes in Wisconsin. That can make a difference in 2020. So the question is, how much gain does the president get? And that's what I think they're shaky on this week, thinking, maybe, you know, we went too far and we'll motivate those people who didn't vote in 2016 to vote against us in 2020.
Do you see this carrying over as we head toward the next round of Democratic debates at the end of this month, nearly 2 weeks from now?
Well, I think Democrats, you know, if you talk to people who are starting to pay attention, although it's still summer and it's really hot out, but summer is a tough time to get people's attention, you know, Democrats are crying out for someone who's a leader, someone who's going to unify and break out of the pack and take on the president, you know, firsthand. And when you saw the interchange between Biden and Kamala Harris, you saw somebody who was willing to take on Biden within the party. And that starts to show people that she's willing to fight across the board. So I think the people that emerge in July and August are going to be the people who say, I'm willing to go all out and fight for what we believe in, we as a unified party, and really emerge as a leader. And once they emerge as a leader, I think they have a chance to shape the Democratic Party agenda.
Well, with so much focus, though, this week on these four Democratic congresswomen who are to the left within the Democratic coalition, does that just further highlight the divisions within the Democratic Party?
Yeah, but Yes, there's no question about it. And then, but, you know, on the other hand, you know, you're going to have to differentiate in the presidential election anyway as a Democratic candidate. So some of the things they're saying will be and have already been, you know, adopted by some of the presidential candidates. But Ayanna Pressley, for example, is a very experienced politician from Boston who got elected to the Boston City Council as an African-American woman. You know, she's a little bit more experienced. She's a little different. And I think that Pelosi has to use each of these women in particular ways, use in a good way, not a bad way, but really send them out to places where they can motivate particular constituencies in the Democratic Party. Get them out the door as ambassadors for the party in particular areas that the Democrats need. If you stick them in Washington and keep them in Washington, they just become a lightning rod for Trump. If you get them out the door and use them for the Democratic Party, I think they can be very effective ambassadors in particular parts of the country.
In about our last minute here, we have testimony from former special counsel Robert Mueller coming up on Wednesday. Could that change the conversation in Washington?
You know, I understand rule of law, and there's a lot of people who are very, very adamant that this still be a drumbeat for the Democratic Party against Trump, but I think it's an electoral either neutral or loser. I think most people have just moved on from all of this, and now they just want to assess the president as president. How is he doing? How's the economy? How's the trade situation? Are we at war? Are we at peace? These are things that people are going to count when they think about Trump, those people who are persuadable. You know, there's people who are never going to vote for Trump. There are people who are going to vote for Trump. But the middle group, I don't think this is a big issue for them anymore, and I don't think that the Democrats are going to get much leverage from it.
Brown University political science professor Wendy Schiller, always good to get your insights. Hope you enjoy the very hot weekend coming up, and you can read more from the nation's capital at Bloomberg.com or on the Bloomberg Terminal. Follow all the latest on Bloomberg Radio in Washington at Bloomberg 99.1 and 105.7 FM HD2. It is 6:56 on Wall Street.
The following commentary is from Bloomberg Opinion.
I'm Ramesh Panuru, a columnist for Bloomberg Opinion. Congress is considering legislation to rein in surprise medical bills. Patients can get hit by these bills when they go to a hospital in their insurance network, but see a provider, such as an anesthesiologist, who's outside it. Senator Lamar Alexander, a Republican from Tennessee, wants a cap so payments don't rise too far above the average price for in-network providers. But in the House, 52 congressmen from both parties want to give providers much more generous treatment that would lead to higher premiums and federal deficits. This dispute offers some context for thinking about Medicare for All. Its backers have been promising expanded coverage for everyone at no additional cost to the country by relying on sharp cuts in payments to providers, cuts as high as 40%. Yet we're seeing determined and effective opposition to payment cuts, even for a subset of medical providers, in cases where most people are very sympathetic to the need for controls. Medicare for All would require cuts that are larger and more wide-ranging. That's a fantasy. I'm Ramesh Panuru. For more Bloomberg Opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPIN Go on the Bloomberg Terminal.
This has been Bloomberg Opinion.
You can hear Bloomberg Opinion commentaries every weekday at this time. Karen.
All right, Nathan, thank you again. BlackRock was out with earnings. It benefited from blockbuster net inflows in its fixed income products in the second quarter, a period where trade tensions roiled markets and investors headed for safe haven assets. Futures are little change to higher. S&P futures are up less than 2 points. Dow futures up 43. NASDAQ futures up 14. And the 10-year Treasury down 5/32. The yield 2.04%. And Bloomberg Surveillance is straight ahead with Tom Keene and Jonathan Farrow. For Nathan Hager, I'm Karen Moscow, and this is Bloomberg.